Well, hello there. I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight for the Favor Factor. And we're in our studio in Maricopa, Arizona. And I know that many of you are from places all over the world. And so we're so grateful that you've joined us, and we're going to have a wonderful time. So let's just pray, and then we'll get into the seminar. And hope you have pen and paper ready, or your computers, and maybe even recording devices and that, because we're going to be in for a really good time of receiving nuggets from the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you so much for the revelation and the wisdom that is in your heart that you want to pour out to us tonight, to all who are watching, to all who are listening on the telephone, and those that are on the video. Lord God, that you would bless them, and that your power would just go into their living rooms or into their studies, wherever they are, Lord God, and that you would touch them and reach them and transform their lives, and that you would impart to them, Lord, the favor factor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, I really believe that God wants you to pursue his favor. And we're going to unpack that a little bit for you tonight, because it's undeserved, unmerited favor. And you know, when you have favor on your life, so many doors open up for you, opportunities open up for you. Life is much more pleasant. I know that all of you, and I know for ourselves as well, myself, I mean, everyone that lives on the planet, I know has suffered at some time in life rejection. And if you compare rejection to favor, favor is better. And so all of you have known what it's like to be favored. All of you have known what it's like to be rejected. And the rest is like just, you know, you don't need any more than that to know that I think I'll go for favor instead of rejection. And the favor of God is actually a gift that we'll confirm that through the scriptures later. But I remember years ago, I was in a motivational seminar, and there was a young man. He was a speaker up on the platform, and you know, you could tell that he was fairly new, but he had favor on his life. He had this bubbly personality sort of, and he wasn't really dressed like a celebrity. He wasn't polished in his speech or anything like that. But you know, your mind, your heart was just fixed on what he was saying. It was just like, wow, you couldn't get your eyes off of him. And then during the break, I was in the restroom, and as I was in the cubicle, I was listening to the different women in the restroom, because it was a woman's restaurant room, of course. And they were all saying, oh, isn't he adorable? Isn't he just the greatest? Oh, didn't you just love what he said? Oh, yeah, I just love this about him. I love that about him. And everyone in the restroom was just raving about this young man. And I thought, wow, you know, like that guy has a lot of favor. I mean, everyone is speaking just really freely and favorably about him. And then I went out to his book table or his resource table, and he had, you know, brochures and sign-up sheets for his mailing list and some resource that you could buy. And people were swarming that table. And I found that I was attracted to the table too, and I was gathering up all the brochures and bought some product. I was just drawn to it. And it was interesting, because when I thought afterwards, I thought, well, the message was fairly simple. It wasn't anything really profound. It wasn't anything that I hadn't heard before, but it had the favor factor on it. I don't think he was a Christian. It wasn't a Christian seminar, but you could tell they had favor operating in his life. And you know, the Bible says that God pours out his blessing, his spirit, on the just and the unjust. He pours out the rain upon the just and the unjust. And so upon Christians, upon non-Christians, he pours out rain, or pours out favor, pours out blessing. And we have to be in a position to catch it. But I knew that the favor on that young man's life was opening up doors, and people were signing up. They wanted him to come into their region as well, and asking him questions, and all kinds of doors were opening up to him because of that favor. You know, someone else could have or spoken the same message, but not had that kind of reaction if they lacked the favor on their life. And so I've seen it over and over again. It's very important. I remember, even as a brand new Christian, I was just actually a week or two old in the Lord, I believe, and I'd read a book called How to Live Like a King's Kid by Harold Hill. And in that book, it more or less said, hey, you're a child of the living God. you can have all these blessings, all these promises, they're all yours. And it spoke in the book about us being favored children because we're the king's kid, you know? And I believed what that word said, and they had all the scriptures in the book, and I was so motivated by it. I thought, yeah, I'm a favored child of God. And he gave all kinds of examples of how favor could open up doors and just use your faith to secure the promises of God. So I was applying for an employment position at the time that I was not qualified for. I was a nurse by profession, but I wanted a full-time day job for a season while we were building an extra home. I didn't want to work the shift work so that my husband and I would always be with the children. And so I applied for a job at a lab that I didn't have the technical qualifications. And I thought, well, I'm going to go with this favor that how to live like a king's kid was describing. I thought, I can do it. I can believe God, and I'm going to get the position. Now, it's interesting that qualifications, one of the qualifications was that you had to be able to type at least 45 words a minute. Well, I had studied typing in high school and done my best, but I failed it, actually. I could not get my eyes off the keys, and so the most I got as far as words per minute was 19 words a minute, and I was going to have to type 45 words a minute to get this position. But I went into the job and applied for it, and when it said, can you type 45 words a minute, I didn't lie, but by faith I said, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So I didn't think I was lying. I was just, you know, taking a stand of faith. And they had many, many, many people apply for that job. In fact, it was in the hundreds. And then they narrowed it down to three more interviews. So I got called in to the first round of interviews. And when they called, they said, oh, by the way, I want you to come in Monday. And this was Thursday that they called. I want you to come in Monday and be prepared to take a typing test. And I thought, oh, my, what am I going to do? Because I've only got 4 days to believe God for a miracle, you know. And I'd never even typed on an automatic typewriter, an electric typewriter. And so I had to even learn how to do that because we'd just been on manual back then. And so I borrowed a typewriter for the weekend, and I prayed and asked my Lord to help me do, you know, just do a miracle and give me supernatural ability to type 45 words a minute. So I remained in faith. I said, Lord, I believe you're going to favor me. Even if there's hundreds of applicants for this position, I'm going to get it because your favor is on me. I'm your kid. I'm a king's kid. And I guess it was that childlike faith as a new believer. I went in there believing that I had the favor of God. I did the typing test, and I actually did get a miracle. I did type 45 words a minute, exactly what they needed. It wasn't any more, any less. And anyways, to make a long story short, I got that position, one position out of hundreds of applicants. And they even told me, they said, you know, really, you're not as qualified for this position as many of the others. In fact, there's certain aspects of it that you actually don't have the proper training, the proper technical training for this, but we just feel like you're the person. And they didn't even know why I was the person, but I knew why. It was the favor factor. And so when you have the favor of God on your life, anything can happen. And so in our favor factor seminar that I prepared, I just put down a number of things. I'm going to read them quickly for you. It says, you are favored when you're chosen for an employment position that over 100 others applied for, even though you did not have the educational status, experience, or job qualifications needed. You are favored when you are in a long queue in the grocery store and a cashier whispers into your ear, hey, come over to this checkout and I'll open it up just for you. You are favored when you walk down the street and notice that many are smiling at you, wishing you a good day as you walk by. You are favored when you share the gospel with a stranger in Starbucks and they invite you to sit down and drink your coffee with them. They lock into everything you share and accept Jesus Christ. You are favored when you pray for a sick person that you meet at the bus stop. They are miraculously healed and then others come around and ask you for prayer too. You are favored when your neighbors look for opportunities to come over and visit because they love your company. You are favored when your relatives and friends want to move into your neighborhood to be near to you. You are favored when you win the draw at work for the prize of a brand new car. You are favored when you check in for a flight and the attendant says, "I think I'm going to upgrade you to first class." You are favored when you buy a new outfit and find that it went on sale for 70% off that very day. You are favored when your newly published book flies off the shelf because it is so popular. You are favored when your inbox is full of greetings from friends at Christmas, birthdays, and special occasions. You are favored when you have too many friends on your Facebook account so that many are on the waiting list. You are favored when FedEx drops gift boxes at your home and work address on a regular basis. You are favored when you're awarded the best employee award at work. You are favored when you win all appeals and battles. You're favored when everyone wants to be on your team. You're favored when influenzas or viruses come through your region, but you never get them. You are favored when all your prayers are answered. You are favored when each of your bank accounts is overflowing with more than what you need each month. You are favored when all your bills are paid in full. You are favored when all your desires get fulfilled. You are favored when people are moved to bless you with gifts. You're favored when you need help on a project and you have more volunteers than you know what to do with. Your children rise up to tell you how much they love and honor you. Your spouse honors you in private and in public and is always thinking of ways to please you. You're also favored when effectual doors of opportunity are constantly open to you. You're favored when you succeed in everything that you put your hands to. Everything you do produces good fruit that remains. You're favored when people rise up against you in judgment and it actually works together for your good instead of for your destruction. You're favored when you live in constant abundance and increase. You're favored when goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life and when blessings come upon you and overtake you. You are favored when you have assurance that all your sin is forgiven and your guilt and shame are removed. You're favored when you are aware that God is smiling at you. You're favored when you know that God celebrates you and doesn't just tolerate you. You're favored when you understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that gives you a little bit of a picture of some of the things, some of the ways that favor can look like in your life when it visits you. Now let's define it for you so that you can embrace the fullness of all that favor means. First of all, it means to be approved or liked. So when you are favored, people approve of you and they like you. You know, I was with someone just recently and trying to help them through something, and you could see a lot of rejection. You know, when you have rejection on you, you get ashamed, you're afraid, you don't know, you don't believe that you're loved, you don't believe that people see the good in you. And I could tell that this person was struggling with that they had rejection and fears on them. And I thought, Lord, they need to know the favor factor. They need to know that you approve of them and that you love them and that people approve of them and like them. Because you see, when you're wearing rejection, there's a field or an influence around you that actually causes people to reject you. So when you have a core belief of favor on the inside of you instead of rejection, it'll start to exude this atmosphere around you that you expect people to favor you. And they will. So when you have the favor factor in your life, you will be approved of and you'll be liked. And it is absolutely much better than rejection, right? I like to share this testimony because I own a beauty salon. It's just a little tiny beauty boutique. We actually started it up for a friend of ours who came to the Lord and he wanted to manage his own shop and, start a career that he could shine for Jesus as a brand new Christian. And so we started a salon for him. It's just a little salon. It's only got three stations, and it's not in the best area of town. It's actually in an older part of town. It's just this little tiny place, but we fixed it up the best that we could, and we call it La Vida Beauty Boutique. And we just would go in there and pray over it. You know, we'd say, Lord, we just command this to be favored, that people will like this shop, that they'll approve of it, that they'll be drawn here because your favor is on it, because your blessing is on it. And sure enough, people started to come in. And now our little shop, it's just so favored. I hear favorable reports all the time. And, you know, we are so blessed with that little shop because of the favor of God. There's nothing really in the natural that would attract people to it, but it's the favor of God. When you're favored, not only will you as a person be favored, but then everything that you put your hands to also gets favored. And so so that's really worth going after. It's worth pursuing. The second definition is that when you're favored, you are given privilege and preferential treatment. And that is so shocking a lot of times when it happens. You know, I remember years ago, my husband and I were over in Africa with a man of God called Bensonita Jose. He's actually gone on to be with the Lord now. And but he was a man that was well known in Nigeria, and he was a powerful miracle ministry, and even the governor and the people in government positions knew him and respected him. In fact, they would invite his prophetic input and his prayer before they made big decisions. He'd led them to the Lord and everything. And so we had the privilege of going on a trip. We were brand new Christians, and we went with my mentor in the things of the Spirit, Mary Goddard. She's gone on to glory now too. I'm sure her and Dr. Bensonita Jose are having a great time up there in glory. But we went with her, and she was well known by Bensonita Jose. And so we automatically had favor because she had favor. Associations are powerful when you have associations with people who are favored. So we had wonderful ministry opportunities, and as a result of the favor that we had through our mentor that we were with Bensonita Jose, we got to have personal meal times with him, and got to do lots of fun things with him and listen to him share the testimonies and the great faith that he was functioning in. And he gave us a personal invitation to accompany him to the Governor's Day Parade. And so we got to go inside of his limousine, and he drove us into the parade. And he had special seating right in the governor's booth. And there was over 100,000 people in the arena that day. And as we drove up in the limousine, he had police on horseback that were getting people out of the way, saying, "Man of God is coming, man of God is coming." And so everyone, you know, cleared the way so that our limousine could go through. And it's like we were enjoying this favor. We had preferential treatment. We had seats in the governor's booth. And then we had special meals served to us there. The cameras were on it, and there was interviews. And then afterwards, we got taken into a back room where we got to minister to the governor and to other dignitaries that were there because of the favor of God. We had preferential treatment. We didn't deserve it because it's undeserved, unmerited favor in the Lord. So it was awesome. And, you know, we've had many situations where the Lord has blessed us with so much preferential treatment, not because we deserve it, but because of the favor factor. And it's awesome when you receive it. The third definition is to be given benefits and gifts. Now, think about this. It says in the Bible that Jesus had nothing about his appearance or anything that would cause people to be attracted to him. And yet, we see the wise men who were magi from the East. They had studied the stars. They were astrologers, and they were into astrology. And they saw a certain planetary alignment, which they interpreted as meaning that there was going to be the Messiah was born. And somehow, you know, I believe that God even gives revelation inside of those dark practices. I really, really believe that he'll reach anyone, anywhere. And you can trust him for that. If you have loved ones in dark places, just pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come into them. And God will visit them because you prayed. But anyways, the wise men, they see that Jesus is going to be born. And they favored. They favored that prophecy or the insight that they received. They favored the Messiah. So they get on their camels, and they bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, they're looking for a baby that has not done anything yet. Jesus is just a young baby, an infant. He hasn't done anything to deserve favor or gifts. They have not met him yet. It said in the Bible that there was nothing about him that would attract people to him. But they had favor given to them from God towards them. So they traveled all that way and brought him gifts. You know, it's the favor of God. Now, when you are favored by the Lord with undeserved, unmerited favor, people end up giving you gifts and blessing and benefit that you think, oh my gosh, I don't know even why they're doing this. I don't deserve it. It's not my birthday. It's not because I'm special, really, in that sense. It's not because it's Christmas, but they'll just be led to bring you gifts. I remember one night not that long ago, I was at an event and I was so touched. Wonderful people that I'd never met before were coming up to me and saying, Patricia, I have this little gift, and they give me a little bag and a little note in it and maybe a little gift. And someone else would say, oh, Patricia, I wrote this card out for you. I want to give it to you. And someone else gave me a gift. I just had an armful of gifts. I went back to my hotel room that night and started reading the most beautiful letters of encouragement and love and blessing and these beautiful, precious little gifts. I just started to weep. I thought, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't even know a lot of these people. I've never met them before. Like, this is amazing. It's undeserved, unmerited favor. But when the favor of God is upon you, people just feel led to give you gifts. I was in an airport just recently, coming back from a ministry engagement, and I was passing a store inside the airport, and I thought, wow. And I thought of a friend of mine whom I favor. I love her. And I looked at all these outfits in the store, and I thought, oh my gosh, my friend would love these. I mean, she would suit these outfits so well. I went inside the store and I wanted to buy one of everything for her, you know. But I finally picked one, settled on one, and I was so excited. I was up at the cashier and I was paying for it. I thought, oh my goodness, she's going to love this. And I was so happy to find something that my friend would enjoy. Now, what would trigger that desire to give her a gift? It's the favor of God. She has the favor of God on her. And so I had this favor towards her in my heart and ended up getting this gift that I knew she was going to really love and really appreciate. So one of the definition of the favor is to receive benefits and gifts. And that can even be in the spirit. When you're walking in the favor of God and you understand the favor of God, all of a sudden you'll start to find yourself operating in the gifts of the spirit more in that. Because when you understand the favor and you step into that realm, then there's gifting in that can be ignited inside of you. The fourth definition is to be given unfair advantage. You know, and you think, wow, I've got all this favor, but I don't really deserve it. You know, like I've got an advantage over others. And I remember years ago, we were taking a team down to Tijuana, Mexico, but starting an outreach center. And we were going down there, but we didn't have a place to stay yet. We were going down there by faith. We had 1 month to get a place to live before our first team came down for outreach. And we just assumed we were going to go down there and get a place. When we arrived, we found out that there was 18-month to 2-year waiting list, at least, for a place to rent. And we thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble. So we went into prayer and we said, oh God, we came down here in faith and we just believed that when we got down here, you'd show us where. And, you know, we need your favor. We need your help right now. And we remained in prayer and worship. And, you know, we were praying over different things for 3 days. And on the third day in the evening, a number of our guys on our team went down to the laundromat to do some laundry. And they took their guitars because they thought, oh, we might as well do some outreach while we're waiting for our laundry to dry. And so they were singing songs and praising the Lord, and a crowd gathered inside the laundromat, and they were sharing the gospel. And one of the men in the crowd said, hey, what are you doing here? I'm the owner of the laundromat. Like, I'm a Christian. And so what are you doing in Tijuana? And they said, well, actually, we just moved here, but we don't have a place to live. They told him the whole story, and he said, well, I'm a landlord. What do you need? And they said, well, we need at least a 3-bedroom condo because we want to put 12, at least 12 people, and we'll put at least four in each of the rooms. We ended up putting six in each of the rooms. And he said, well, I have a three-bedroom house available. Actually, the people gave me the notice. They're leaving next week. The only thing is I've had someone on the waiting list for that house for they've been waiting for over 18 months. And so I need to give it to them first. But if they don't want it, I'll give it to you. And so we went back and we prayed and, you know, said, oh, God, favor, favor, favor. Well, he called us the next day and he said, this is amazing. God must really want you here because I just got a phone call from them. They were ready to take the place. They had agreed to take the place. They phoned me an hour later and said, we just got offered a job down in Guadalajara. We're going to move there because it's a better situation, so we want to give up the house. They'd already put the deposit down on it and everything. And so he said, it's yours. It's yours. And so we got it right away where other people had to wait 18 months to 2 years on a waiting list. Do you know that in the first year that we were living in Tijuana, Mexico, that we grew so quickly that we kept needing more and more buildings, we ended up getting three more rentals in that first year with the favor of God, not having to go on any waiting list, just getting them right when we needed them. We had preferential treatment. We had an unfair advantage in a way because other people had to wait. Some of our Mexican friends said, this is amazing. We can't believe that you got all these places. And they knew it was because of the favor of God because, you know, others had to wait so long. So what I want you to do right now is to start dreaming of what your life would look like with all those definitions of favor activated within you. What would your life look like if you walked in the favor of God all the time, where you were approved of, where you were liked, with, you know, people giving you gifts and affirmations, and, you know, where you had advantage, you know, in situations, and where you were given preferential treatment? It's a blessing, isn't it? Because, you know, when you're blessed, you can be a blessing. When you know that you're the favorite of the Lord, and not because you deserve it, we don't, you know, really, we deserve hell in a way. But God gives us his favor instead. He gives us his mercy. So it's all undeserved, unmerited favor. But when you get that favor and then you can start favoring others and using the open doors that God gives you through that favor to be a blessing for others, it's awesome. All right, now, I want to share a little bit about God's favor and the covenant. Because the favor that you have in God is based on an eternal, unbreakable covenant. And so you have a covenant with God that is made by God himself. He became mankind. We couldn't do it. We couldn't fulfill the terms that he needed fulfilled in order to have a relationship with him. And he was going to make a legally binding agreement. That's what a covenant is, with mankind, where we had to fulfill all the terms, but we couldn't do it. So he decides to cut a covenant with himself. Jesus Christ is God in covenant, and he is man in covenant. And so Jesus as God and Jesus as man cut this covenant together and have fulfilled the terms for all eternity. One of those covenant blessings is the favor of God. All that Jesus is and all that he has, when he came to the earth and lived as a man and fulfilled all the terms of the covenant as a man, he did that for you. He did that for me. So everything that the Father's given the Son, Jesus the man, is now yours. Because Jesus said, the glory the Father has given me, I give unto you. And so in that covenant, all the blessings of God are yours. Every promise in the Word. It says in the Bible in Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that the curse of the law, Jesus came and took that on himself, because it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he became the curse for you so that you would be free to receive all the blessings. Isn't that amazing? He did that for you so that you could have favor. He took your rejection so that you could have his favor. He took your poverty so that you could have his riches. That's what this covenant is about. That's why we can't boast in anything of our own accord. I can't boast in the favor that God gives me. I just know that it's a gift that he has given me. He has given me a gift of favor. Now, I want to take a little break here just for a second. First of all, to let you know that we're looking forward to your comments, your input, your questions. And you can actually ask questions or maybe ask for a specific prayer or maybe share a testimony or whatever. If you will write to this email address, questions@xpmedia.com. So write your questions out or your comments out, and we're going to give a half an hour at the end of this webinar, and we're going to answer those questions, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to release impartation of the favor of God over your life. I also want to say in way of announcement that if some of you have had some trouble signing up for our webinars and our teleseminars and trying to get, you know, find the right, you know, links, and maybe you didn't get the email back with the right codes, I just want to say we are so sorry. This is rather new to us, this whole setup, and we're trying different programming things, and so we have some tweaking to do, and we're so sorry for any inconvenience that any of you might have experienced. And we want you to email questions@xpmedia.com if you're having any technical difficulties tonight, or, you know, if you have any ideas for improvement, just let us know. And we are really humbly apologize for anything that might have been difficult for you in the process. But we're going to make things a lot better. We're going to get things. We're just going to make it the best we can for you, because we want to be able to continue to give you just all that will enlarge your faith and will make you filled with the Spirit. And, you know, these webinars, by the way, they're free for premium subscribers to xpmedia.com. And again, we are going to be working through the processes of signing up as a premium subscriber. And so, again, we want to thank you for all your patience during our long beta testing season. We started beta testing the site of xpmedia.com with the signups for everything for about the last 6-7 months. And we're still working out a few kinks, but we're doing it for your blessing. And so please be patient with us. And I just got a note that they are experiencing video difficulty tonight, but the audio can be heard. The video cannot be seen. And so would you please refresh your browser? If you just refresh, apparently that's going to help somewhat. But again, I want to say we're so sorry for any trouble that you might be having. And we sure appreciate your prayers and your help at this time. Okay, so back to the covenant of blessing. You have a covenant of blessing right from Genesis 1:28. The very first thing that God spoke over mankind was, it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. That word bless, it means to invoke with favor upon or and to empower to prosper. So you have the favor of God invoked upon you, and you're empowered to prosper, because that is the covenant blessing that the Lord has given you right from Genesis 1. It's what he spoke over mankind. And even though mankind fell from all the goodness of God, fell short of the glory of God, it has been restored in Jesus Christ. And so we're really excited to know that for the rest of our life, we can live in the blessing of God because of what Jesus did for us. You also see through Abraham that God blessed Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to invoke favor upon you and empower you to prosper so that you can be a blessing and so that the nations can be blessed through you. So the reason why you're blessed with this undeserved, unmerited favor is so that you can be empowered to prosper and so that you can see the earth filled with the majesty of the Lord, and where people can come to know the Lord in a beautiful and wonderful way through your life. You will be blessed. All right. Now, it is possible for people to earn favor. For example, natural favor is given when a person's gifted. Even the Bible says your gift will make room for you. So if you have a developed gift, that gift attracts the favor of people towards that gift. So just people can favor you. You don't have to be a Christian or anything. The gift will cause you to be favored. Or you could have a talent. Or maybe you're really successful in your career or in a project that you're working on. Successful people have a lot of favor on them. It just promotes favor. Financial prosperity. People who are prosperous financially have favor on their lives. People are attracted to them. And that's natural favor will be towards that financial prosperity. A person who's physically attractive will have favor towards someone. Someone with a bubbly or winning personality. Maybe they've got a charismatic personality. They might not be born again or anything, but they've got that bubbly, happy, optimistic personality. That will attract favor. So there's all kinds of reasons in the natural why people can be favored. But we're talking about, in this covenant with God, we're talking about undeserved, unmerited favor. You don't have to be gifted, talented, good-looking, or rich. You can just have this favor of God, which will then bring about other blessings in your life, where it'll actually create more favor. Once you start getting one measure of favor, you'll get more and more favor after that. So that's God's covenant. And he wants you to believe in his favor. Believe that you are favored. It's undeserved, unmerited favor. You might say, yeah, but, you know, I haven't done anything to deserve favor. No, when you start believing that favor, it'll get developed in your core, and you will be empowered to prosper with that favor. Now, when you read the word grace in Scripture, I have to go over this very quickly because we only have an hour and a half tonight, so there's a lot of scriptures that I'm not going to be able to read out, and a lot of the lessons that are in the complete Favor Factor coaching course, which we'll have ready online in the next couple of weeks. We'll be able to have that up and ready for download for you, the whole course from beginning to end. But all the scriptures on grace, grace means undeserved, unmerited favor, and it also refers to God's divine influence working in your life. So we know that the scripture says that God is at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so therefore, he's at work within you by grace to influence you to do his will. But under that grace and inside that grace, there's undeserved, unmerited favor both with God and man. Now, Jesus, he grew in favor with God and man. And so you can too. You can too with God and man when you understand the favor of God. I want to encourage you to do a scripture study on the word grace and the word favor. In the Old and the New Testament, there are some wonderful promises there. For example, Psalm 5. Verse 12 says that the Lord surrounds his righteous with favor as a shield. In other words, favor will protect you. In Luke 4:19, in the New Living Translation, it says, the time of the Lord's favor has come. And you know what? I want to prophesy that over you. The time of the Lord's favor has come to you. Psalm 84:11, the Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so, you know, we can go on and on. I'm not going to take the time to go through all the scriptures tonight because there's other parts of the teaching that I want to give to you. But if you will do a word study on grace and favor and start soaking yourself in that, and if you have our decree book, there is a whole decree on favor and another one on blessing. And so you can do blessing and favor and another one on grace. And if you wanted to decree those three decrees over your life every day, for sure you would be blessed and you'd start to believe the word about what it says regarding the favor of the Lord that has been given to you. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. It could say to the throne of favor. Draw near to the throne of favor so that you may receive mercy and find grace or find favor to help in time of need. There's many other scriptures, but you can look those up and do a study on it. And I want to really encourage you to do that. All right, next we have some talk about principles. There's 10 principles I hope that we can get covered in tonight's teaching on how to grow in the favor of God. Principle number one is the importance of faith. You see, I can tell you tonight that there is a blessing for you, a promise regarding the undeserved, unmerited favor of God for you. It is yours. It'll be yours for all eternity. It is not based on your good works. It's not based on, you know, your good looks. It's only based on what God says He'll give you. Now, I can tell you that, but if you don't take your faith and reach out and receive that favor and pull it into your life and believe that it's yours, and in that belief you start to activate it, then it's not going to do you any good. It's just sitting there of no effect to you. And so faith is really important. It says in the Bible in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of what you cannot see. All things are possible, it says, Mark 9:23. All things are possible. Only believe. Now, we have fact and we have truth. Fact is temporal. It's subject to change. You only will find fact in the realm of time. You will not find fact in eternity because fact is subject to time. But truth is eternal. When you leave the realm of time, you'll enter into the eternal dimension, which is a dimension of truth. Now, the moment that you're born again, you have eternal life inside of you. In that eternal life is favor. Eternal life brings you favor. Now, when you believe in that truth, it will set you free. When you believe in the truth, it will create a realm of favor around you. Now, what about the fact you say, yeah, but Patricia, I'm rejected all the time. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms. Wah, you know? And if you believe that you're rejected, if that's what you're believing a fact. It might be a fact that people are rejecting you. When people reject me, I just think, oh, well, to know me is to love me. They obviously don't know me. They haven't seen God's favor on my life yet. It's undeserved, unmerited favor. They just haven't connected with it yet. But that's what I have. I don't have to believe in their rejection. I don't have to receive that rejection. That might be a fact, but the fact will change if I adhere to the truth. How do I do that? By believing the truth by faith. By saying, Lord, this is my reality. I receive it by faith. And I'm not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to listen to what is contrary to the word of God. And so, only believe. It says in James 1:8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's unstable in all of his ways. And so if you say, well, you know, I believe that sometimes I'm rejected and sometimes the promise of God works and sometimes it doesn't work and, you know, it's just the way it is, then you won't receive anything from the Lord. You're unstable in all your ways. You know, it'll affect everything that you do. So at some time in our life, we have to make a decision saying, God, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to believe your word no matter what the circumstances look like. If you said it, you will make it good because you are not a man that you should lie. So principle number one is begin to believe. Start believing right now. I'm the favorite of the Lord. I am favored by God. It's undeserved, unmerited favor. I don't deserve this favor, but it's a gift and I receive a gift. Your faith in what you believe in the truth will produce what's called core belief, according to God's word, on the inside of you. When your core belief or your default belief is according to God's word, then that creates a realm. Now, when you start creating a realm, it's like the atmosphere around your life is full of favor. Once you have that belief established like that, and that core belief in the core of your being, it'll start to attract favor to you. You don't even have to look for favor. It just will be attracted to you. You get on a roll and favor comes. And once you have that realm carved out, it is established. Okay, so you have a choice. Believe the truth and you'll be blessed with favor. Believe a lie and you'll experience rejection or lack of favor. The choice is yours. There is a consequence to everything that you believe. You know, if you believe the truth, you get the results of truth. If you believe a lie, you get the results of lie. You can't believe the truth and get the lying results. And you can't believe a lie and get truth as the results. You know, so believe the truth and receive the blessing of that which manifests. Okay, principle number two, the power of your words. Do you know that the words you speak have power? Words are so powerful. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and life. And so when you speak the truth, you can speak to yourself in the mirror and say, I bless you. You know, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. I bless you. I invoke favor upon you and I empower you to prosper. Because God told Moses to teach the priesthood how to invoke the favor upon Israel, upon the people of God. Numbers chapter 6. He said, say to them, speak it over them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And he said, if you will say that, then I will invoke my name upon them and I will indeed bless them. And so you see how powerful the words are. They just had to speak the blessing. So when you get up in the morning, you say, oh, you gorgeous thing. You are so favored of the Lord, undeserved, unmerited favor. You're awesome. And you start to bless yourself and you will be favored because you're speaking the favor of God over your life. But on the other hand, if you speak negative stuff over your life or if other people have spoken negative over your life, you know, you have to take a stand against that. You need to destroy those bad weeds, those bad seeds, right? And so this is how you do that. In Isaiah 54 and verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And so you can take a stand when something negative is spoken against you, maybe a rejection element or something. You say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I annihilate that word with the word of God. I rebuke that word. I'm going to judge that word, condemn that word. It's coming down, you know, and you forgive the person who's cursed you with it. And then you're blessed again. Just stay in that shield of blessing and favor. Say, I'm surrounded with favor as a shield, Psalm 5, verse 12. And so those darts can't penetrate. And so you can annihilate every curse word that's ever been spoken over you. You can command it to die. Okay, principle number three, develop the character and nature of God in your life. This is exciting. The Lord showed me this. He said, Patricia, if you want to understand my favor, just understand who I am, because every aspect of my nature attracts favor. I thought, wow. He said, everything about me attracts favor, and I've given you that favor. So when you manifest a part of the nature of God, you're going to attract favor. For example, love, God is love. It says God is love. So when you're a loving person, if you know loving people, aren't they favored? Do you know a really loving person who isn't favored? You know, they have favor. People are attracted to loving people. What about patient people? You know, saying, oh, that person is so patient. And you speak well of them. You favor them. Why? Because patience is an attribute of God. What about joyful people? and optimistic people and faith-filled people. Wouldn't you rather be around a nice, positive, optimistic, faith-filled person than a negative person? You'll favor the optimistic person, won't you? Because that's the nature of God. You'll favor the person who's all bubbly and joyful. You know, which one would you favor more? A joyful person or a depressed person? Which one would you rather be with? Someone who's happy all the time or someone who's sad and depressed all the time? Come on. You know, I don't have to tell you the answer. And the reason why you're drawn to the joyful person, the optimistic person, the one who's thinking the best of life all the time, is because that's the nature of God. It's the attribute of God. So anytime you function in the attribute of God, you will set yourself up for favor, because every aspect of God is favored. Here's another one. What about integrity? Who would you rather do business with? Who would you favor on a business level? Someone who lacks integrity or someone who walks integrity? Come on. You don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure that one out. You're going to favor the business person who is known for his integrity. Amen? So for you to develop a life that's filled with favor, look to the goodness of God and say, God, I want to be like you. This is how you become like God. You look at him. You say, oh God, I want to meditate on your goodness right now. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so kind. I just meditate on your kindness. I want to be kind like you are kind. I want to be loving as you are loving. I want to embrace the fullness of your heart, you know, and you just, you know, you just look to his, to all the different attributes. You meditate on those attributes and you start, you know, exercising those attributes by faith. Because the more you focus on who he is in those dimensions, the more you will be like him. Amen? Develop the character and the nature of God in your life. And maybe you want to make a list. This is what I would encourage you to do, is what godly attributes promote favor in your life? Which ones do you carry? You know, I know that you have beautiful things in your life, like maybe you're really kind or generous. You know, don't you just feel attracted to generous people? Because it's the nature of God. And I know that those of you that are watching this webinar or listening to the teleseminar, you are full of the attributes of God. So why don't you make a list of those ones and celebrate them? And then maybe look at the areas that aren't so well developed. Maybe you're impatient and you think, I want to look at the patience of God and become more like him, you know. And this isn't with human grueling striving. This is like the joy of becoming patient, you know, and practicing. Oh God, I want to become patient like you are. Maybe you kind of are negative at times, and instead of the cup being half full, your perspective is always half empty, you know, and you can look at God and say, oh God, you're so optimistic. You always look to the silver lining on the cloud. I want to be like that. And then with that joy set before you, you start to embrace those attributes. And as you exercise them, you'll gain favor. Favor with people is really good, because Jesus had favor with God. Don't forget, your faith will grant you favor with God. Aligning with his attributes, he loves that. He looks, oh, there's my son, there's my daughter. They look just like Papa, you know. He'll love that when he sees that in you. But it also increases the favor in you. Oh, we had aircon just go on. If you heard that pop, that's what that was. Okay, principle number 4. Develop your gifts, talents, and abilities. People who are gifted or talented in an area, or, I mean, all of you have ability in something. And when you develop those, it says in the Bible, your gift makes room for you. Your talents will make room for you. And so develop those. And you know, what can you do? Maybe you make the best chocolate chip cookies around. Well, those chocolate chip cookies can create a favor factor in your life, you know, especially when you invite, you know, the youth group over and you're taking chocolate chip cookies out of the oven. Guess what? Oh, they're going to favor you. In fact, I have a friend who moved into a new territory. Their son was in school and didn't know anyone. It was high school. That's a hard a hard place to break into. But she was a really good cook. That's what, she's gifted in meals and making goodies. And so she said to her son, why don't you invite your friends over and I'll make them cookies and make them a nice meal. They can have, you know, a nice meal and I'll prepare it really special for them. Do you know that she put on this great meal with all the good things that young guys would like? And that was the beginning of favor, not only with these young guys toward her, but her son got the bonus of that favor. You know, even though she was the best cook in town, he got the favor factor working for him because of association. He was her son. And so I'm sure that you've got abilities that can help you, you know, cultivate the favor factor in your life. Principle number 5. And again, I want to encourage you right into questions@xpmedia.com, and you can ask questions about specific situations in your own life regarding favor, and we'll have a time where we pray and we'll answer any of the questions that you might have or any of them that might come in. Again, I want to apologize so much to you for any kind of technical difficulties that we've had that have made this an uncomfortable experience for you. All the premium members that are online right now, these will be archived for you afterwards so you can have access to the conference archive file, so that'll help you. And we are sincerely sorry for any of you that have gone through trouble on the registration process, the getting online, finding the information, any of the technical difficulties. We're trying our hardest to create something that'll feed your spirit and bless you so deeply. But we are learning some of the processes and we've discovered some little snags. So we are so grateful for your patience with us. You are amazing as you help us grow. So again, we bless you and thank you again for your patience with us and your mercy towards us as well. Okay, principle 5. Here's a biggie. Your outward appearance, it actually really matters. The favor factor, let me put it this way. If you didn't know that a person was gifted, you didn't know that they were a Christian blessed by undeserved, unmerited favor, and you only meet them and get to see their outward appearance, that's all you get to see for your very first impression, you better believe that that first impression will either create an acceptance or a rejection even. It could actually cause you to, I don't feel like I want to get close to that person, but I really feel like I get to know this one. And if you have to make a choice between, you know, 1 out of 4 types, let's say, I have a feeling I know which one you would pick. In fact, listen to these descriptions. Here's person number 1. And all of these might have the most beautiful heart ever. You know, it says in the Bible, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. But man, he doesn't get a chance to know the heart yet. He looks at the outward appearance first. That's why if you want to develop favor in your life, outward appearance really does matter. So person number 1, here's a description. They have wrinkled clothes, scuffed shoes, bushy eyebrows that are unplucked. They're all over the place. The teeth have need of maintenance and dental care, and they're coffee stained. The hair is untrimmed, unfashionable. There's no luster on it. The face, the skin, the lips are without healthy looking natural color. They're pale, dull, and toxic. And their eyes are looking down at the floor. They can't kind of look up at you. They're very sad looking. They look insecure. And they're overweight. Okay, so that's just a whole bunch of characteristics that create a profile of a very disheveled person. Okay, so that's person number 1. Don't forget, you don't know their heart. They might have a heart like pure gold. But you don't know that yet because all you can see is their outward appearance. Person number 2, they're the person with either old fashion or no fashion. So let me give you a picture. Maybe they have their hair tightly pulled back onto a bun on the top of the head. The shoe style is from the 50s. They're wearing penny loafers, ankle socks with unshaved legs, long black skirt to mid-calf, frumpy turtleneck top, a bulky cardigan, 2 disturbing large fat cell growths on the eyelids. They're mid-weight, so that's good. They're good weight. Their skin is healthy looking, so they don't need any makeup. Their lips are naturally pink, so they don't have any makeup. So there's some really great things about their appearance here. Although, because of their clothing and the hairstyle, you might not notice those good things about them. The teeth are healthy and well-maintained, but they're a bit yellow due to age. And they have a very serious countenance, and they have frown lines. Okay, so that's person number two. Person number three, they're the overdone person. You know, they're over-tanned with chemical tan or tanning booth. And they have really, really big, big hair that maybe is over-bleached. They have caked on foundation makeup and powder. Predominant false eyelashes with tons of mascara. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with dramatic makeup as long as it suits the overall. If you have too much overdoneness, you know, you might cause certain people to say, oh, I just can't take that, you know. Really bright, bright lipstick with liner that goes way beyond the natural lip line. Tons of bling. Tons is the key word there. Fishnet stockings with 5-inch heels, exaggerated smile like a pose. Everything about this person's body movements and countenance obviously says, look at me, pick me. So it's like kind of a egocentric picture. They are clean and tidy. They have white teeth, but maybe they whitened a little bit too much, so it doesn't look natural. And they're a little overweight, but maybe healthy weight, you know, so it's not like obesity, but a little chunky. So that's person number three. And again, look at the whole profile. You notice that there's some good things about this person, but when certain aspects are all overdone, what does that give you as far as a first look at the person? Is it someone that you want to get to know better? Someone who's, you know, really drawing your attention because you can favor them because of that outward appearance. Here's person number four, which I call the well-done person. They have a natural complexion, and they've tastefully applied foundational makeup and powder, but it's not excessive. It looks great on them, maybe fashionable as well. They have eyes with gentle and fashionable makeup application, or at least with fashionable. Fashionable is the key word there. Fashionable clothes, but not overdone. Fashionable and feminine shoe wear. Fashionable hairstyle that frames the face well. Fashionable jewelry to accent clothes, neat and tidy, well-groomed. The teeth are white and well-maintained. The countenance is bright, exudes optimism, and they stand with appearance that comes from a restful internal confidence. They're not putting their eyes down because they're insecure, and they're not over-exuding themselves. They're just confident. They're optimistic and confident. So I think it's pretty clear. If that's all you had to base who you're attracted to, it's probably clear who you would be attracted to first. And so outward appearance really helps. Now, you have to be you. You have to be you. But if you're suffering rejection all the time, you know, and you're not relatable to people, maybe it's simply an area of outward appearance. You know, I know a gal who's actually very anointed. She's actually very anointed. She wants to be in ministry. She wants to be a preacher, and she actually could be a gifted preacher. But she's so outdated in her fashion and frumpy looking. I'll just be honest, and I've actually told her this too. I said, you know, you're so frumpy looking that you look unkempt. You look like you don't care about yourself. And so why would people care about you? About the message that you're carrying, you know, why would they care? So you've got to think, how are people going to react to the way I'm presenting myself? Because sometimes that first presentation can create rejection or favor. In the favor factor, there's a confidence that comes from within that, you know, causes people to be attracted and, you know, gives you a favor about you that people want to join in on. And I'm not saying it's solely fashion. It actually comes, first of all, from within. But I am saying that your outward appearance really makes a difference. For example, in a job interview, you go in there and you're unkempt or you're just, you know, not fashionable. You're not keeping up updated, and you've got to, you know, be a salesperson and a jewelry counter, you're probably not going to get the job. Or if you go in and you're over tanned and you put too much of the chemical tan on you and you got amber streaks all over you, you know, you're probably not going to get the job in the clothing department of the store, you know, because your outward appearance isn't going to attract people to buy clothes. So the employer's going to say, you know, I know you've got a great resume, you're a great salesman, all that, but man, you're just overdone. You know, it's just not going to work. It actually does make a difference, and especially in job interviews, in preaching, in ministry, in where you want to buy your product from, who you want serving you. Like, would you like someone serving you in a restaurant if they've got their hair's all messed up, they got rotten teeth, and they're just not looking after themselves physically? Would you like them to serve you your bacon and eggs? Come on. You know, it does make a difference. So as much as we like to say, oh no, it's just all about the heart, it's not. It actually has a lot to do with the outward appearance too. I love helping people with makeovers because you can take them from a place where they might feel a little bit, you know, not right or not in full bloom, let's say, and then you can change their hair a little bit, put a little bit of makeup on, change their hair, their clothing style a little bit, and wow, they start popping. Because even Jesus was very relevant in his day to the people. He was relevant. Even in the way he talked, the way he behaved, he was relevant to the people of his day. And we need to be thinking of that when we're thinking of the favor of God. Ultimately, that favor comes from God, but there's things in the natural that you can do to cultivate favor. And, you know, I want to say this too. Let your friends be a good thermometer. And if you're a really good friend, you'll be honest with people. You'll let them know, like, you know, I have a really good friend. When I go to walk out the door with a certain unbecoming outfit, she'll say, hello, change that. Don't go to that meeting in that. It just doesn't look good on you and it's not becoming on you. And so we need to, you know, consider that those comments from a friend are helpful. And so be a good friend and be honest to those around you as well. It doesn't help us when we have people say, oh yeah, it looks beautiful, but inside you're thinking, oh my gosh, doesn't suit them at all. Because then they go out the door thinking they look beautiful and everyone else thinking, why did you put that combo of clothes together? You know, it's obviously not right. So, you know, be thinking about how you can optimize the favor factor that's at work within your life. Okay, next, and we've got a long ways to go, so I'm going to rush through these quickly. Expect favor. Everywhere you go, expect favor, because the expectation will attract favor to you. And it is just a spiritual principle. So when you expect what God has promised, it actually becomes like a magnet and draws the favor. Principle number 7 is sow the favor of God. S-O-W. The principle of sowing and reaping is so powerful. It is a spiritual law that works for all the people all the time. In the measure that you sow, it will be measured back to you, but pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you pour favor into another person, it'll come back into you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There is a law that was given by God. It's a perpetual law because it says, this is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and a corresponding harvest. And so the earth is still remaining. Therefore, whatever you sow, there will be a harvest of what you sow. Now, that's for good or for evil. So if you're sowing rejection into other people's lives, you're going to get rejection back in your own. But if you sow favor into the lives of others, you're going to reap favor. You're going to reap a harvest of favor. And you will always reap more than what you sowed. If you put one bean seed in the ground, you're going to get more than one bean seed back. You're going to get a plant that's filled with beans, and every bean is filled with seed. And so you can, with intentionality, sow favor into other people. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so if you want lots of favor, sow favor into others. And you can do it in creative ways. You can sow favor through notes and emails and, you know, just pick a person or two or three each day and look for ways that you can intentionally plant seeds of favor into their life, and it will grow up into a beautiful harvest of favor for you if you have an expectation to receive it back. By faith, sow your seed, and by faith, reap your harvest. You sometimes have to be intentional about the reaping of the harvest. Okay, principle number 8, overcome resistance and attack. You know, there's going to be opposition to you receiving favor. Do you think the devil wants you to be favored when he's completely rejected? He got completely rejected. That's why he tries to conform you into his image. But you're not going to buy into that because you've got the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. The same favor that the Father favored the Son with is now your favor. Praise the Lord. Okay? So when attacks of rejection come, there's a boldness on the inside of you in Christ that can rise up and overcome with just more faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, you know, and you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time, the scripture says. Examine the opposition that you're receiving. Glean from it. See if there's anything at all that you can learn from. You have to learn to extract the precious from the worthless, but hold fast to that which is good. Forgive those who hurt you. Bless those who curse you. Wait for the Lord to vindicate. You don't have to get all self-defensive and try to prove yourself as being worthy of acceptance. Let the Lord vindicate you. You just humble yourself before him and minister your praise unto him, and he will send more favor your way. Stand on the promises of the Lord and decree his favor over your life, and resist the devil's lies and use your authority in Christ to bind him. And then love, love, love. Many of you have heard that one of my most favorite characters is Walt Disney because he was the creator of Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse is very famous today, one of the most famous, if not the famous, most famous animated characters on the planet. Walt Disney was his creator. And do you know that he had a failure? His first attempt with Mickey Mouse was a failure. It was rejected. He took Mickey Mouse out there and everyone rejected him. Rejection letters everywhere. He went and proposed Mickey Mouse. But he didn't give up. He took some of the advice, some of the input, and worked on Mickey Mouse some more and gave it a second attempt. Second attempt also was a failure. People opposed Mickey Mouse, rejected Mickey Mouse, rejected Walt Disney. But he didn't give up. He went for a third time. Now, on the third time, Mickey Mouse was rejected again. But Walt Disney also incurred a bankruptcy on the third time. He lost everything. All his personal assets were gone, but he still didn't give up on Mickey Mouse because he believed in favor. Now, Walt Disney is a born-again Christian, so he's in glory now. He's gone on to glory. But after his third failed attempt, he just kept going, and then Mickey Mouse made it. Thank you. And then Mickey Mouse made it, and Mickey Mouse is very famous now and very favored, and probably, like I said earlier, one of the most favored animated characters on the planet. So just keep pressing in. Principle number 9, just quickly, because we've got to wrap up soon. But principle number 9 is drawing near to God. When you draw near to God, you get the fragrance of God on you. His fragrance just comes and fills you. And, you know, people will know that you've been with him. You know, I had a friend who wore a very strong perfume. And they loved this particular brand of perfume. And they put a lot of it on. So, you know, when I went out one day and had lunch with this person and came back a few hours later, my husband said, "I know who you've been with." And he named the name of the person. I said, "How did you know?" And he said, you smell like her. Because I'd been in the presence of this person, their fragrance came on me. And my husband identified that I'd been with her because of the fragrance was transferred just by being in her presence. So when you draw near to God, you get his favor all over you. And that fragrance of favor, it will exude off of you and you receive more favor. It says in James 4:7, draw near to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So rejection will flee from you when you draw close to God and be in his presence. Draw near to God. In Hebrews 4:16, again, it says, come boldly, that's with confidence, before the throne of favor, before the throne of grace, to obtain his mercy and to receive grace, to receive favor in time of need. So remember that grace equals favor in the scriptures. And then finally, principle number 10 is focus on the goodness of God. Do you know the goodness and the glory of God are together? The glory of God is the fullness of all that God is and all that he has. And when Moses said, show me your glory, the Lord says, I'm going to allow all my goodness to pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And so Moses became acquainted with the goodness of God, the goodness in the superlative tense. In fact, God introduced Moses to Jesus because that's the goodness assist of God. But I have discovered when I focus on the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the greatness of God, the attributes of God, when I'm totally focused on his goodness, favor starts to arise. I can feel the favor of God towards me. Now, legalism and, you know, trying to adhere to the law and stuff like that, that is never going to create more favor. The favor on your life will be created when you look at the goodness of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more you look at his goodness, the more you're going to feel his favor shining on you. And then that favor can go to others. And, you know, just by nature of the way that favor works, you know, when you emit the goodness of God, when you're, you know, focused on the goodness and you're talking about the goodness of God, you know, you're a positive person, you know, people will want to get to know a good God. Favor will come on you as a result of that, just as a result of focusing on the favor of God. So I trust that these principles will really help you to be coached into exercising the favor of God, to receiving the favor factor. I want to prophesy a prophetic decree over you that you are favored. And the favor factor in your life is going to explode in you and around you, and over you. Favor, 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 favor. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Do you know the scripture says in Zechariah, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And then right after that, he says, speak to the mountain. And you can say whatever resistance you might be getting, maybe abandonment, rejection, isolation, or people just aren't noticing your gift. You can speak to that mountain and say grace, grace to it. You speak favor, favor to it. And it'll start to be activated in your life. So I want you to be blessed. We have a question here from Jennifer in Texas. It says, is natural charisma the same as favor? Some people just seem to glow and captivate you, but are not at all godly. How can you tell the difference between soulish charisma and favor? That is a great question, Jennifer. And it is both and. Natural charisma will create favor, as we said earlier, like a bubbly personality, a shiny, you know, and wonderful outward appearance, an attractive outward appearance, and an effervescent personality will attract favor. In the natural, it'll just attract favor. You don't have to be godly to have, you know, the blessing of the favor work on that, because it's a favor factor. So the factor of a positive personality, a bubbly personality, an attractive physical body, that's going to attract favor favor is attracted to that, even in the natural. But when you have God's favor in your life, you don't even need an attractive outward personality or outward appearance. You can just be favored because of the favor of God exuding from you, because you believe it. You know, I've seen people that really in their natural appearance, they don't have, like if you were to just take them bare bones, they don't really have an attractive physical appearance. They might have features that the average person wouldn't want. You know, there might be facial features or the size of their hips or the size of their thighs, whatever. It might be things that the average person wouldn't really want. But I've seen those people walk in the favor of God because they've got confidence inside of them that they're favored of God, and they just believe that they're favored. They believe it on the inside. And so they, because they believe it, they dress like a favored person. They fix their hair like a favored person. They prepare their makeup like a favored person. Or if you're a man, you know, you walk like a favored person. And it's interesting that what's on the inside will even exude a favor on the outward appearance of a person, on the physical appearance. But it comes from that core belief when it is the favor factor, that's the undeserved, unmerited favor. It's very powerful, but you have to believe it. So even those without a lot of the natural charisma, which can come naturally, or the bubbly personality, if you start to believe within that you have favor, it'll start to exude off of you. So I hope that helps. And how you tell the difference, you know, favor is favor. It'll work for unsaved people as much as saved people. But people who really know the Lord and who are walking with the Lord, you should see the fruit of the Lord's work in their life. You should see the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and faithfulness and perseverance and patience and all those wonderful attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the love. You should be able to identify all those things within their life if they're walking with the Lord. And so that's the way that you test the fruit. But yes, natural. There's natural attributes in a person that will attract the favor of others, and they don't have to be born again for that. Many of you have written in asking for prayer over your circumstances or upcoming events. Now, I'm going to pray for you over that. And when you have favor yourself, I want to say this, when you cultivate favor yourself, you will have favor on what you put your hands to. When you know on the inside that you're favored, and when you've received the favor factor, and when you work the principles of favor within your life, favor will increase. Jesus increased in favor. He started out with one measure and increased in favor with God and with man. So you can increase your favor measure by meditating on the favor, by believing the favor, by working the favor. But not only will you as a person be favored, everything you put your hand to is favored. I believe that what I do is favored, and not because I deserve it. It's undeserved, unmerited favor, but because God's given the gift of favor. I'm so grateful that He has given that to every one of His children. I see it on all of our team. I see them favored. It makes me so happy when I look at them and I think, oh my gosh, you've got so much favor on you, you know, and they're getting breakthroughs, you know, they're buying houses and, you know, their offers are being accepted even when other people's offers are better. And I'm seeing, you know, the door open up for their gifts, and I'm seeing, you know, financial favor and all kinds of, you know, relationship favor and ministry favor on them. It just gives me such great delight. I see that on the body of Christ, but you can cultivate it with intentionality. And I want to encourage you to do that. And so, Father, I pray right now for every single person on this webinar and on this teleseminar, every person that's listening, every person who's watching, I pray, Lord God, for favor to increase. I pray for the seed of favor that's in the Christ within them to explode on the inside of them. Whoa, I felt that one. To explode on the inside of them and for them to know the power of that favor in their experience. And in any event that they're involved in right now, I speak favor over that event. And I want to encourage you, decree the favor over that event. And Lord, I decree the favor over that event. I decree favor over them in their family gatherings, in their over the dinner table, when they're together as a family, when they're with friends, when they're at the bank, when they're in the workplace, when they're in their place of worship, when they're in the pulpit ministering or on the streets ministering. Favor in Jesus' name. Whoa! Favor in the name of Jesus. I speak favor. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of every spirit of rejection. In the name of Jesus, I command rejection to flee and for favor to be ushered in to every single person on this webinar in Jesus' mighty name. And I tell you, I believe that with all my heart. And I tell you, I can feel a shift taking place in the Spirit. I feel a shift taking place for you. I'm seeing in the Spirit someone's discouraged because you went after something. You believed God for something and then it just didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. You didn't get the breakthrough. You didn't get what you expected, the favor, and it didn't come. The Lord says, do not give up. You get just back in that saddle and you just go for more and you keep going after the favor. Just like Walt Disney went for it. He never gave up until he finally got it. And once he got it, it was a whole realm of favor. And the Lord's showing me that someone that is on this webinar and listening to this teaching right now, that you're just going to press in and that you're coming into a big season of favor. And that favor, it says in the Bible, is for a lifetime. That is for a lifetime, that favor. It will never end. Now, we have to wrap up this seminar right now. But I want to encourage you that if you signed up for this webinar and you are not a premium subscriber to xpmedia.com, I want to encourage you to pray about it, because for the subscription, you not only, the top 10% goes to care for children at risk, we also use it to fund media evangelism, getting the word out worldwide. It helps the media. It's like a media partnership, but also we invest into feeding your spirit. We feed your spirit with these webinars that you can watch them for free and never have to pay another registration fee. And we have them every month, all year, sometimes more than one a month. And there's a whole bunch of other blessings too. And you can go online to xpmedia.com and see the different blessings, you know, as you sign up for premium membership. And if you go to the opportunities button on the website, on the homepage, you can see the sign up for that. So I just want to encourage you to sign up as a premium member. We are looking to this year to expand media outreach more than we ever have before. And we can do it together. If we do this together, we can reach the nations. We can reach the darkest places in the face of the earth. But we need partnership. So we want to feed your spirit. We want to give you all that you can get. And it is so inexpensive. It's just for really pennies a day, you know, almost for, you know, a whole month for less than you'd buy a special latte, you know. It's like you can do it. And it's a matter of sowing in with that. But then we sow into you major spiritual input that will be a blessing to you. And so I just want to encourage you. I also, if you do not have our decree book, it is a book of decrees. There are three special decrees in there for blessing, for favor, and for grace, as well as many others. But when you decree those words over your life every day, it'll bless you. And you can actually purchase the download of that book, or you can purchase a hard copy on our online store. Just go to xpmedia.com to the store up on the menu item, and you can go right to our ministry store and purchase that. And also, if you want the entire course on this, it will be coming out in the next week or two. It'll be up online for you so you can get it. But we have others, the Keys of Success, Power, Weight Loss and Rejuvenation, The Making of a Champion. These are all on my coaching site. So visit my coaching site. It's patriciakinglifecoach.com. And you might want to treat yourself to coaching sessions as well, because they'll make a big difference in your life. And when you take personal issues in your life and invest in a breakthrough so that you can go to the next level, so many have been helped. And you can read some of the testimonies and endorsements on that site. And there's a whole bunch of product and resource that will help you. So I want to finish by saying, Thank you for joining me on tonight's webinar. Thank you for loving the Lord. Thank you for going after everything that He has for you. Thank you for being friends of this ministry. And again, thank you so much for covering us during this time when we're, you know, working through transitional things. And feel free to write us with things that would help and share your any struggle that you had getting online. Please share with us. Just write questions at xpmedia.com, and we'd love to hear your feedback. If you're enjoying these webinars, write us too and let us know. We'd be glad to hear from you. I want you to remember this. It's a prophetic word for all people and for all time, and it's for you tonight, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll hopefully see you next time.